Good afternoon. With me today, we have seven juniors who attended a very special event earlier this fall. They saw the author Brian Stevenson speak at Villanova University. Villanova invited us to go attend a very special event, and our principal, Mr. O'Toole, accompanied the students and took them there to see that special event. Brian Stevenson is the author of the summer reading book that the junior class and the sophomore class read. The book is called Just Mercy. And the topics in the book have been a part of conversations in class and outside of class in our community throughout this semester, including a presentation with a professor from LaSalle University just recently. Today we've gathered these students, seven of the eight students who attended, to hear more of their impressions of that event. And along with me is Mr. Justin Harbor of the Social Studies Department. And I should introduce myself. I'm Nick Coggins. I'm the Director of Curriculum, Instruction, and Assessment. And so we're going to go around the table right now and have some introductions of the students who are in attendance that day.
This is Justin Morgan.
This is Eric Ford.
I'm EOL Casadarge.
This is Tom Newell.
This is Quinn Lanahan.
This is Patrick Voigt.
This is Luke Melanson.
And welcome, guys. So tell us first off, what was it like to see Mr. Stevenson in person?
This is Tom. I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought he was going to be a lot older than he was. He looked pretty young, but he was just a pretty influential speaker, I guess you could say. Like, he had some pretty good points that he would talk about and was a good speaker.
This is Eric. After reading the book, I was, like, interested in it and, like, what he had to say. And when, like, I got to see him speak in person, it was, like, really, like reinforced, like, what he had to say. Like, he brought up, like, a lot of points. Even, like, if, like, it was, like, a reiteration of what the book was saying, still, like, really helped, like, just, like, get me, like, more interested into it.
I have to say, I'm going to agree with Newland saying that he's a very good speaker. He didn't miss a beat in his speech. And I like his story a lot. I mean, you really can't make any of that stuff up, if I'm really honest.
Yeah, and that was Patrick.
This is Patrick.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
This is Justin. So when you read the book, it's one thing, but, like, actually seeing him and having him tell it to you, like, it's so much different, and it feels more real. Like, it gives you a different perspective. And, like, the audience was, like totally into everything that he was saying. Like, they fully backed him up, and, like, they were agreeing with him, and, like, it felt very, like, emotional.
This is EOL, and I just have to add on to what Justin said. Yeah, while he was speaking, listening to him really put, like, words to pictures, because, like, he really went into detail about his experience, especially going to court and facing these trials and dealing with the circumstances and situations that he did. He, like, really explained it to in detail to everyone, and it was just, it was, like, a whole different experience.
This is Eric. Also, like, when he was saying his story, too, about, like, the introduction in the book, it, like, just kind of brought it all in. So, like, if, like, there's, like, another opportunity for him to come, like, speak, I would, like, suggest, like, anyone just go watch.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah, this is Luke. So, one thing that I got from Brian Stevenson, that he's a pretty down-to-earth guy. I remember one experience that he shared with us that wasn't in the book that I found kind of interesting. It was an anecdotal experience about how he was speaking. And afterwards, the people that invited him there, they're like, oh, you don't want to go to, like, five-star hotel we have prepared for you, right? Because, like, you reject comfort. And he said to us, no, of course, I don't reject comfort. But the important thing is that, I guess Stevenson preached to everybody there, was that with your career, with what you have, make the best of what it is and try to help people out whenever you can.
How would you classify him as a speaker? I mean, what was kind of his style? I mean, we heard a little bit of that.
This is EOL. I mean, he was an amazing speaker. He interacted with the audience when people had questions. I remember there was, like, this basket that you had, and people would, like, they gave you a little pamphlet that you could write on, and people could write questions, and he responded to those, and I don't know, it just seemed, like, very authentic, very real, the way he spoke.
Yeah. This is Eric. I have to agree with what E said. Like, every, like, even, like, if it was, like, a question that he's probably never heard before, he always had, like, an answer for it right away. Like, I was surprised from, like, where he's always, like, been around, so he's very, like, good at speaking.
This is Patrick. I would say, from his speaking, from the way he speaks, he clearly has a passion for what he does. For what he does as a living, at least according to me, it's not just a job. It's something he deeply cares about and would love to do for the rest of his life.
Yeah. This is Tom. I think, like, him compared to other speakers that I've heard, like, on the topic of social, like, justice and things like that, he kind of veered away from trying to, like, preach at you and make you, like, want to, or, like, kind of ingrain it in your head as a topic, but he, like, kind of made it more personal and shared his experiences and try to make it so it mattered to you rather than just ingraining it in your head as a problem.
Just to follow up on what Eric said, you know, as he was suggesting, anyone who's listening to go hear him if he's nearby, Mr. Harbor tipped me off on a great YouTube clip of an award reception where he was given an honorary award. So I think I have a sense of how passionate he is and his presentational style, but it was very emotional to see him just standing at a microphone and talking. I felt kind of that same experience from the digital distance. Yeah. Is there a comment or a story that really stuck out for you? Luke started to reference something that stuck with him, but from the actual presentation itself?
This is Eric. Actually, like, the first story in the book, that with the Walter McMillan and the Ralph Myers one, I remember when I was reading that one, I was getting, like, really, like, I was, like, into it, because it was, like, a great story, and when I was, like, kind of, like, getting angry, like, my emotions, too, like, but, like, just, like, hearing him talk about it even more, and about how McMillan was just, like, denied mercy, just really, like, stuck with me.
Quinn? This is Quinn. One of the stories that had the greatest impact on me was the story of, I believe his name was Ann, who spent 18 years in solitary confinement. Just imagining that, it's really, really horrifying that someone would be put through that. And Ian was a child when it first started, which is ridiculous and awful.
Oh, this is Tom. I forget what the kid's name was who was in prison, but he was a young boy, and he said that, Stevenson said that when he went to talk to him, he was, like, had been raped, like, multiple times, and it was, like, he was just kind of turned off to the whole world, and they, like, stayed in touch, and I thought that was just an interesting story, because he kind of took, like, a father role in his life.
This is Iowa. I don't remember the inmate's name, but Stevenson at the talk mentioned that one of his first cases, he was talking to, like, he didn't know how to formally be a lawyer, because this was, like, his first or second case. And he was talking to the inmate, and they were like, the inmate was sharing his experience with him and how prison is treating him and how it's affected him. And the inmate was a father or something. And Stevenson tells him that, like, you have a year more until you have to, the trial to, like, for your death penalty. I forget what that's called, but, and Stevenson, when he tells him, like, you have a year left until you have the trial for your death penalty, like, the inmate gets, like, really excited because he didn't know whether he could see his family or not, because, like, he didn't want, like, the last time to be unmemorable.
Good. Is there a topic from the discussions about the book, your own reflection on this topic and seeing him speak, that still is something that's bouncing around your head that you just quite haven't settled with or you haven't grappled enough with?
This is Eric. And one of those topics would be, like, mental illness, mm-hmm. like, in prison, mm-hmm. and how it's, like, was, like, misdiagnosed. And, like, that's just, like, something that's, like, so, like, impactful to me. Just, like, in general, like, just hearing how, like, some of these people are, like, mistreated or abused, and, like, just how, like, they're in prison, and they're just, like, so, like, just being torn apart inside.
This is Tom. I kind of going off what Eric said, it's not only, like, mental illness within prison, but before prison, too. I know he talked about how some kids were, like, abused by their parents, and that's why they acted out the way they did, and they wasn't taken into consideration in their trials. So I think that's, like, a big issue in today. Like, some mental illness isn't looked at as a mental illness.
So let's just extend that a little bit. So if Brian Stephen apparently effectively communicated this, would you call it, like, a compassion that he's
that he's
getting towards? What do you think were his goals of that talk? Like, what was he trying to get across to you guys in the audience? What do you think he hoped that you left with? Let's start here.
This is Luke. So I think Brian Stevenson's basically trying to instill the idea everywhere that compassion is not just for those who maybe are convenient to us or nice to us. It's also to those who really don't deserve it and have done heinous things, heinous acts. So that's what we should think about, like, in the prison justice, and sorry, in the justice system, that we should have compassion for, like, the least, not just for those who would deserve it.
Tough to do, right?
Right.
Tough to convince people to get to that point, but talk about an aspiration for all of us. Yeah.
In my mind, this is Patrick here. In my mind, the message he was trying to convey to us that is that we should probably just not reserve justice to those who are... We should not just reserve justice to people who have it all, essentially. We should a country should be judged by how it treats the citizens who are the least well off, and not just those who drive around a Rolls Royce and have a 1-30 IQ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and have the ability to get great lawyers, yes. and all of those things. Sure, I think that's
a real problem.
Yeah, I think that's an important point that he's trying to make as well. What do you guys think? What do you think he was hoping you would come away with?
This is Eric, and I remember at the end of the talk he said that he doesn't want, like, of course it'd be great if we, like, went into prisons, but that's not his main goal there. He just wanted to inform us, and he said, like, everyone deserves mercy, even, like, the worst. And, like, this isn't what he said, but this is what I believe, that, like, we shouldn't be the ones to play the role of God. So.
And I think, this is Tom, I think something else important that he was kind of, like, getting at was that he wanted to make people think, or know that, like, not everything's so black and white, like, it seems. Like, if you see someone on TV that's, like, convicted of murder, you instantly think, oh, they're, like, a murderer, they're, like, a terrible person. But you don't, like, know what actually happened, or, like, you don't know that they might have killed their parents because they, like, have been abused their whole life and were, like, raped every day of their life. Like, he's just trying to get out there that some things aren't always what they seem.
This is EOL, and I think Brian Stevenson at his talk was trying to raise awareness, especially about our social justice system, and how he briefly mentions this in the book, how most cases in the United States don't even, like, go to a trial because the prosecutors offer a plea deal. So people are scared by, like, the length that they're going to threaten them with rather than, like, actually fighting the case. So he talked about that and how people go to jail for crimes they don't even commit sometimes. So I think he really just wanted to raise awareness and bring this to the public's attention.
This is very heavy stuff, right? And yet, Brian Stevenson talks about hope a lot. Did you leave that talk feeling hopeful or burdened by the heaviness of the subject? I mean, what was the mood when you drove home with Mr. O'Toole?
This is Luke. So, in a way, I felt pretty hopeful, knowing that everyone around us was agreeing and we were all like-minded individuals who recognized the ideas that Stevenson had brought out. And all these smart young people had the chance, had the resources, and had the ideas to make a difference.
This is Eric. I felt hope, and this is what? Because, like, even though I think he was talking about our system, and even though it's not perfect, like, there is flaws in every system, and, like, to, like, just discuss them and all come together and just, like, all agree on one thing, it just was great.
Oh, this is Tom. I don't really know how to explain the feeling, but I guess kind of comforted, because he almost, in a sense, didn't say, like, that everything, like, our whole justice system is a complete fail or anything like that. He kind of said, it's not fine where it is. It's, like, it works, but it could be improved. So, kind of, like, got the notion that we can do stuff better than, like, what's now.
This is Quinn. I agree with everyone else. I left the talk feeling very hopeful. Though Stevenson did present a lot of the flaws and the darkness of the justice system as it is right now, he also addressed a lot of the ways that he's been working to fix it and how other people have been. And I left the talk feeling hope that I could do something, that the other people in the room could do something.
This is Justin Harbor. Given that we seem to be discussing the way the book has affected our perception of the justice system or problems therein, I'd like to ask how reading this book and understanding its stories and then experiencing Stevenson relate these themes at Villanova. I'm curious if these experiences have like changed the way or encouraged you to encounter contemporary news items that speak to these themes. I think that a lot of the issues that Stevenson brings up are very easily found in other examples in common everyday news items, whether it be sexual violence, whether it be racial violence, so on and so forth. Have you found yourself reacting to those stories in a different way? Have you found yourself seeking those stories out? Do you find yourself compelled to help in any further way?
This is Eric, and yes, of course, I have like changed the way I think. It's not like an equal, like just like going like that, like judging them right away. I would have to like it makes me like think even more. Like I've researched the person and like see like what their life has been. It's not like initial like, oh, they're a bad person right away. And just like trying to understand their story of why they did that.
This is Ewell, and I think Stevenson did a great job of like introducing this in like an appropriate way, and he made it like super comfortable. Cause like beforehand, I don't know how comfortable I would have been talking about like a person who's a convicted felon or like who's murdered people before. But now like I understand that like not everyone's the same, and everyone has like a certain story behind them. And there's a certain reason why people go to jail, and it's not always for the wrong reasons.
This is Eric. And, like, also, like, go back on your point. Like, probably, like, I don't, like, really, like, care, like, how people would, like, look at me anymore. Like, if I, like, am defending, like, someone who did something bad. If, like, probably before I would be, like, oh, you just agree with everyone. But now that I've read this book, like, kind of, like, expanded out or more, it's just, like, makes me, like, feel more comfortable like defending people even if they, no one else is defending them.
This is Tom. I think Brian Stevenson like kind of laid it out in like a, well, when looking at like news articles and stuff and how they portray like some things like sexual violence and stuff like that, I think Stevenson laid it out as a problem that can be fixed rather than some social or like news articles and stuff laid out as just like a problem, or they just lay it out as like an issue, and they don't provide any examples of how it can be fixed. Kind of Stevenson gives us like examples of how it could be fixed, and hope for being fixed, and some like social media just kind of lays it out there as one person's a monster and the other person's the victim.
Is there something, a topic that's been brought up, you know, a social justice issue that you feel like you would like to know more about to be better informed, to be, to kind of have a better informed, you know, opinion about at this point? Is there something for you guys that you think, oh, I wish I could read more or hear more or discuss more about this topic? You know, there's like, is it mass incarceration that is still kind of something that interests you or you're curious about? Is it more of the justice system itself? Is it, Patrick?
I have to say, the policing system.
Yeah.
Like how the policing system can kind of feed into the cycle of having multitudes of people go into a court, overwhelm that court, and then stuff them into a jail cell for crimes they have to admit to, out of threats that they may receive longer sentences. And, sorry, this is Patrick.
This is Eric. Maybe our rehabilitation system, and like how just sticking someone into a cell, just like a confined space, just makes them even worse. Like, I feel like we need to actively be doing something to help them out, not just punishing them for what they did wrong. And like, I like think that like we can't just let one event in their life describe how everyone looks at them.
This is Tom. Kind of on Eric's point with rehabilitation, but not necessarily. I mean, like the issue just of mental illness in the United States completely. I mean, if you like look at like some of the mass shootings that have been happening, it's pretty obvious that most of them have had mental illnesses. And just mental illness in general, so I think it's just a big problem in the United States that's kind of overlooked.
This is EOL, and I think the rehabilitation and punishment topic is like something we talk about at school, but it's also something like we could learn a lot more about. Like, if we were to rehabilitate inmates, like how would we do so? How would it be effective rather than a punishment?
This is Justin. I know that so far this year, all these topics that we're talking about have been discussions that we've been actively going over in class. So, like, having this talk with Stevenson and having read this book, it's really nice for us because it gives us another opportunity to look over everything and go more in depth than what like our other classmates around us can do, because they haven't had this conversation with Stevenson and heard everything that he's been through.
This is Justin Harbor. I was going to ask, similar to what Mr. Coggins had just asked, but I guess on a broader sort of programmatic level, how could we, as students at LaSalle College High School or teachers at LaSalle College High School, improve this experience for you guys in order to make it to make it more appealing to maybe your peers, to help build on this? Would you recommend to us any ways in which we could sort of move this forward that you guys would be satisfied with and sort of co-sign onto it being a compliment to the experience you've already had?
This is EOL, and I think if you brought in like topics that were in Philadelphia, like maybe the mass incarceration in Philadelphia, or like how many inmates are like you know like the legal cases that happen in Philadelphia, like what type they are, and et cetera. I think if you bring it closer to home, like more people will take more interest in that.
This is Tom. I think not only bringing it closer to home, like you well said, but just talking about it more in school. I feel like in school we always talk about, like in history class, we talk about what happened like 100 years ago, but we never talk about how it relates to today.
And I feel like teachers don't, and it's not necessarily a teacher's fault because you have to stick to the curriculum, but I feel like as like a school, we could just talk about issues that are going on today more often and just have like a day to think about our opinions and what we should do about it.
Yeah, this is Luke. So I was thinking something specific, maybe like an elective such as public speaking or something like that, something that meets once a cycle, once or every other day, to discuss in depth, and maybe have homework to do research, like find out what laws would be able to help the justice system. Like, for instance, nowadays we're in history, we're looking at the First Step Act, and I know a lot of the guys in APUS are writing a letter to the congressman trying to get that to pass and signing it. So I think a specific class or allotted amount of time would definitely be able to help with that.
And this is Justin Harbert. Can you, for record keeping purposes, could you explain that letter writing First Step Act that you just brought up?
Sure. So this is Luke again, and the First Step Act I'm talking about that we're working on in APUS and government. It's one person or a couple people write a letter to the congressman in support of this act, which would give more options to people coming out from prison and be able to get a job easier and be able to see their kids easier. So everyone in the class would sign that letter, and the more signatures, the more people supporting it, the more like movement we'd have to be able to give to the congressman, give the pass.
Well, like, in my mind, what will make this more interesting is that there we could have a foreign connection with a major topic here in the United States. After all, the United States has a highest prison population in the world, 2 million. Several other countries have this kind of problem. It like the list goes from the United States, then to China, then Russia, then India, and then Brazil. It's like the top five countries with the most number of incarcerated people. In my mind, if we could connect American stories with stories from those countries and many more, we could possibly create solidarity between the U.S. and various other nations.
This is Eric, but I just want to kind of discuss something that like our school does well too, with like morality classes some schools don't have. Like, as juniors, we were like learning about like what's like good and bad. Just like some like public schools, they don't really have a morality class because they just can't. And I just think it's like just good that we're learning that. So especially like being like at like a Catholic institution, it just helps a lot more.
Is there anything you were hoping that we would ask you today so that you could contribute to this dialogue and this conversation, but that we didn't get to? Is there anything you want to say as we're kind of wrapping this up?
So this is Luke, and one thing I wanted to talk about, maybe, if I was asked about it, is like why we have such a huge population of prisoners. And it's not the case that the U.S. is the most like immoral nation and most dangerous nation, rather that we have some of the strictest laws regarding drugs or anything like that, where we would not give such mercy as to like not give prison time. We give like harsher sentences, so more people already in the system, and that keeps going and going, so that it stays at like a steady rate of people coming in and going out if they are able to.
Well, I want to thank all of you for your time today. It shows a lot about your character that you jumped on this opportunity to do something off school hours, and you know, took a little bit of effort. I applaud you for doing that, and we really appreciate your insights. Certainly, on behalf of Mr. Harbert, we can say that you've helped to advance the conversation here on our campus, and so thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for the opportunity.